The Mishnah said one of the things that they did on Tesvav Adar was Mesakim Sadrachim. It would fix the roads, the big large roads, Mikvos Hamayim, the Mikvos, Va'isim Tzarchi Rabim, and they did all the other Tzarchi Rabim. So the Mishnah did not explain what are those Tzarchi Rabim. So the Gemara says, Eilu Ein Tzarchi Rabim, Donin Dine Momines V'din Nefoshes, meaning the Rambam speaks out in Perish Mishnayis that, of course, any person who needs dinim amun is done and he wants to take care of it right away is able to take care of it right away. But all the rest of the things that we're going to mention on this list. But now they made it in this time from Tesvav Adar till Pesach, they made an effort to take care of all the outstanding cases of all these things. So they took care of all the dinim amunis and all the dinim nefashis. Dinemakis, someone who did an aveira that's chayv malkis, so they done that. But in erchin, all the erchin that somebody said erch arki alai, let's say his own erch or erch pleni alai, someone else's erch, which is the Torah predetermined value based on gender and age. So all of that, if it wasn't taken care of until now, so that's when they would deal with it. The haramim is a type of hektish also that needs to be redeemed, so it needs to be appraised. They took care of it then. Hektishes and regular hektishes. Umashkin is a site of if a husband warned his wife not to have yichud with a certain person and she did, so she became a site again. Like we said before, theoretically he should be taking care of it right away, but in case he didn't, so if there was a backlog, whatever it was, but now they put an extra stress in taking care of all the cases. V'sarf and esapara, if there was a paraduma to be brought, so they would do it then. V'arf and egla arufa, if there was a dead body murdered next to a city, so the closest city brings an egla arufa when they don't know who the reitzeach was. V'reitz an eved ivri, if there was an eved ivri that his 6 years are up, and he wants to stay longer, wants to stay till Yevil, so he has to get his ear pierced. So they took care of that then, if there was any outstanding ones. Umetaran is a mitzera, any mitzerayim who needed to become tar. Umefarkin is a mino mea gabe ha. They changed the gears to ha gabe ha imum. Now, this last one is not negeya to tzarche rabim. It's just that these tzarche rabim were all a mishnah mayi katan or a brisa mayi katan, which discusses what you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. It said, Tzarchi Rabim, you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. So it was mentioning all the things that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. And at the end of that thing, it mentions one more thing that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, because it's not considered a Melachas Uman, which means when the shoemaker makes a shoe, so it's made on like a form, on a mold, so to say. And then, after the shoe is complete, the taking the shoe off of the form, that's not called a Maisa Uman, and therefore it may be done on Chol HaMoed. So this has nothing to do with Tzarchi Rabim, just because we were quoting this Braisa, so we quoted the end of the Braisa that says you could take off the shoe from the form from the on Chol HaMoed. But to put it on, if for whatever reason you want to put it back on for a little bit, so that is a Maisa Uman, and that may not be done on Chol HaMoed.
So this
Braisa was a Braisa that is in Mesechus Mayu Cotton discussing that Tzarchi Rabim is permitted to be done on Chol HaMoed. We are saying that the same way that these are called Tzarchi Rabim Lagabe Chol HaMoed, so that if you want to know what's the Tzarchi Rabim that we paid attention to start taking care of on Tzarchi Rabim, those are the Tzarchi Rabim, the same ones that we mentioned over there, those are the ones over here. But the Iker Baisa was talking about Chol HaMoed, so the save of the Baisa is only negated to Chol HaMoed, it's talking not negated to us.
Mitaris and Mitzayra, all these things have nothing to do with us, really, it's just the continuation of the Baisa.
No, all of those are Tzarchi Rabim, meaning we took care of all. So that's what I said before from the Rabim. It means, theoretically, all these things could and should be taken care of right away. Most of these things. But if we pack Dina Mamas and Dina Fashas, really, she could take care of things all right away.
But there's an Isra of
Ma'an and Sadin. Once the din is taken, you can't. We don't have death row for 7 years. We do it right away. The only thing is, if they didn't hear the case right away. But once they heard the case, they have to take care of it right away. Sometimes Bezdin just backlogged, then they didn't have a chance to hear the case.
So what do they have to do now?
Now they put an extra stress in taking care of all the outstanding cases. The Rambam speaks out. Avada, if there was a makdim, you should take care of everything right away. But if there's anything outstanding, they put an extra stress to make sure to take care of everything. So Taz Mitzera would be the same thing. Of course, if the Mitzera wants to become Torah right away, we allow him to. I'm sure he would want to. He doesn't want to be stuck mechutz lamachna. But if there would be, for whatever reason, a backlog, and there would be outstanding Mitzerayim, so then they would put an extra stress in taking care of, put extra manpower into taking care of it at this time.
Why is that? Now they were getting ready for Pesach?
Probably because this is the season to get ready for Yom Tov. They started preparing everything else to be at the end of the winter for the Tzibur, so this was the time that we were Oisuk Mitzerach and Tzibur. Tamal Taninan. We have a Mishnah in Mitzachas Moed Kappen. The Mishnah says, Beis HaShlochim, Mashkin Beis HaShlochim, that on Chol HaMoed you're allowed to water a field that needs to be irrigated, because that's considered a Dover Avod. U'mitzayin al-akvaris, and you can mark the graves on Chol HaMoed also in order to protect people from becoming Tameh. So the Kasha is, didn't they already mark the graves in Adar? I mean, this is one of the things that our Mishnah mentioned, that on Tezvav Adar they did, was mark the graves. So why are they marking it again on Chol HaMoed? They were already marked a month ago. And for the Gemara, Tipater, answer should, Yorod Shetiv, Shokasham, Veshativ, you're right, they did mark it on Tesvav Adar, but sometimes a big storm happens afterwards and a lot of, a downpour of rain came down, and sometimes it could have ruined the marker, it washed it out. And therefore, sometimes they had a remark, and that's what the Mishnah is saying, that if on Chol HaMoed they had to remark the graves, they were allowed to do it even on Chol HaMoed. Then a similar kasha, the Mishnah says the Yotzin Afal Kalayim on Tezvav Adar they went out to check for the Kalayim. So the question is, like Far Yotzu Me Adar, we already said that they mentioned that they do Kalayim on Rosh Chodesh Adar. We said Berach Adar Mashmin Al Ashkalon Al Kalayim. So the Gemara says the same type of teretz. Tipater Shehoyis Shana Afela. Sometimes you have a late season, especially when the Hebrew calendar and the English calendar are not always the same, depending on when the last Ibra year was. Like now, we didn't have an Ibra year for a few years. Next year is going to be an Ibra year. So this year pays off very early. So it's very possible that in Adar, the plants are not grown well enough that you could tell what's climb. So Kegon Shehoyis Shana Afela was a late year, Ve'inat Tzmachim Nikarim, and you can't tell from the Tzmachim, from the plants that grew, yet that if there's two different minim growing. So therefore, they had it would be negair to wait till later to see if it was kalayim, and that's why there was a second time. Minayin letziyun. How do you know, Bechlau, that you're supposed to, the Bezdin, or Chazal, the ones in charge of Klaisa, or Mechuyiv, to mark off the kfarim to protect people from Tumah? So the Gemara says, Rebrechia says in the name of Rabbi Ahar, Rabbi Yaakov Bas Yaakov, B'Shem Rabbi Chanina, the Bras Chavon, in the name of Rabbi Chunya, who came from the city of Bras Chavon, Rabbi Yossi Amelan, Rabbi Yossi says it was Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acho, who said B'Shem Rabbi Chunya, the Bas Chavon, Rabbi Chizkiya says that it was Rabbi Zio Bray, the Rav Chunya de Beis Chavrin, B'Shem Rav Chunya de Beis Chavrin. So whoever was the one who said it, but they said the Makar is as follows. The Tamei Tamei Yikra, this is in the Pasuk of a Metzayer, when a Metzayer is sent out of the Machne, it says, Tamei Tamei Yikra, he should announce, I'm Tamei, I'm Tamei. So we darshan from here that the double lashon of Tamei Tamei Yikra, that the Tamei calls out that I'm Tamei, the Tamei is supposed to warn you that it's tummy to make sure that you don't come in contact with it and you don't make yourself tummy. The tumma, so to say, calls out with its mouth, announces that it's tummy. When Meres Lachon tells you, Perosh, separate yourself from the tumma, make sure not to become tummy. Rabbi Ilu B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman says a different mikar. It says, this is the psukim in Yecheskel, when they found the all the dead bones of the dead bodies. So the Navi says over there, the avru ha'ivrim ba'aretz, the ones who go through the land, pass through, the ra'etzim adam, and then see the human bones, ubana etzloit zion, and they'll build a marker there to mark them off. So, etzem, from the fact that it says etzem over here, mikanshim etzem and al-tzam, is that you mark off the bones, like we're going to see soon. Basar doesn't have to be marked off, because basar is going to decompose. But the atzamas take a lot longer. They don't usually decompose that, and they last. So those have to be marked. So mikan shemitzayim and atzamas, because otherwise someone would become tamei bayo by stepping over, leaning over these atzamas. Adam, it says etzem Adam. So the word Adam teaches us the mikan shemitzayim and al hashadra, the spine of a person, v'angogoros, and the skull. Meaning in order to be tamei bayo, if it's bones, it has to have a shear of a rev akav, a quarter of a kav of a tzamas, and it has to be either mirev binyan or mirev minyan, meaning most of the height of a person, or mirev minyan, most of the amount of bones in the body. So there's 248 bones, so it has to be rev of 248, which is 125. If it's neither of those, then the bones are not metame b'oil, they're only metame b'mago masa. However, the shedra and the gogolis, the spine and the skull, because they're choshev, even though they're by themselves, they don't have Rav Binyan, they don't have Rav Minyan, nonetheless, and even if they're not a Rav Rakav, nonetheless, there's still Matama Ba'ayel. Ubana. It says Ubana, it's like you should build the Tzion. It didn't just say you should make a Tzion, you should make a marker. Mikanshim and Simon, Al-Gabi Evan Kavua, when you make the marker, it should be something that's fixed to the ground. Because imat oimer agabe evin tlusha, because it's a pashta thing. If you're going to put it on a stone that's not attached to the ground, that's talush, avi oileches umetame makamacher. So then you're going to mess up because it may get kicked around, it may get moved, and then you're going to think that place B is tame, which place B is really going to be tar, and you're not going to realize that this stone really came from place A, and really place A is tame, not place B. Then it says etzloi. It says ubana etzloi tzion. You should build a tzion next to the tuma, which tells us lemakim tahara. The tzion is not on top of the tuma itself, because if the marker is right directly above the tuma, so then people might not realize till the last second, and by the time then it's too late. He already touched it. He already went on top of it. So rather, it marks before the tuma. Right, the warning line comes before the tumah, so as soon as you get to the warning line, you know to stop, and you won't come in contact with the tumah. Then it says tzion, the etzim, the thing that you build a marker. Mikan tzion. So that this is like we're saying the whole time. We were dashing exactly where and what, but this whole puzzle that teaches us that you have to make a marker to mark off the tumah. Umatza. So it says, Evan Achas Mitsuyanis, let's say if you find one stone that's marked. So even though we learned that you're supposed to mark on the side of the tumah, but if there's one stone, so then obviously it can't be on the side of the tumah, because if it was on the side, it would have to be marked around on two sides, or maybe even more than two sides, but a minimum of two sides, because otherwise you don't know which way it's marking. You just see one stone that's marked, so then you don't know if it's being marking to the right side of it, to the left side of it. So if that's the case, obviously the tumah must be underneath it. So if all you found is one stone that's marked, ava bishay mekamekin, even though you're not supposed to do that, because you're supposed to make the tzion next to it, like we said before, not on top of it, but over here, it must be hamalala tumah, that this stone is directly above the tumah, and therefore if you're mahal on the stone itself, you're tumah. Because it must be that the mace that it's marking is directly below it. If there's two stones and there's a gap in between, so then if you're directly mal on the stones tar, because and in between the two stones is tummy, because then we're assuming that you kept it in the way it's supposed to, that the marker is next to the tumah. That means on either side you marked before you got to the tumah by putting the stone there, and the tumah is in between the two stones. So if you're mal on the stone itself, you're in that case you'll be tar, and only if you're mal in between the two stones, the part that the stones are marking off, that's where we assume the tumah is, so then you'll be tummy. However, if the area in between you see is plowed, So then, obviously, no one's going to plow on top of a kever. So then you could assume that obviously the area in between, the person who plowed it knows that it's not, there's no tumah there. So must be that the tumah again is underneath the stones. And each stone is marking a tumah that's underneath it, and not that they're marking the area in between. So you look at each stone like a single stone, just like we said before, a single stone, obviously the tumah is underneath the stone, so too over here, two single stones, because the area in between is plowed, so obviously the tumah is, there's two tumahs, the one beneath each stone. Beneim tar, and therefore in between is tar, so you say, and which, even though the word is suyasayim, it means underneath, is going to be tameh. Tano, ein mitzayin al basar. When they mark tumah, they don't mark basar, meaning if there was plain basar buried without any bones, over there they wouldn't mark the kever. Shem is akal basar, because the basar is going to decompose, and the tumah is going to go away, and if the marker is there, so then you're going to wrongfully be metamed things, as long as the marker stays there, which could be for a very long time, even though the basar is long gone. Also, so fact the Gemara of Alaynitsa Mitame Taras Amafreyas, but Lamaisa, if you're not going to mark it, so all the Taras that are there until the Basar decomposes, they're going to be a problem. So Amalei, so he answered in Mutav Shi Yiskalku Balashav, A Yiskalku Balayilam. It's better to not make a marker and have a short term problem that people won't realize until it's too late, and then they'll be Mitame things in the short term, rather than put the marker there and be metame a lot more in the long term. So this
have a marker here and no one goes near this marker.
Right. If someone touches it at night, let's say, this is the way the Mefarshim explained. If someone touches it at night and the next morning saw that what he touched was a marker, he's going to burn his tumah, and he's not going to realize that it's really not tame. So he just burned taharis for no reason. And this is a long-term problem, so we'd rather take the risk of ending up ruining a few kachim, a few taras, short-term, rather than putting a marker there and then end up being metamed much more long-term.
He's going to burn the taras, he's going to eat kachim the tumah. Which no marker, he's not going to know.
So I know that bothered me also. What if he doesn't know? Meaning the Gemara is assuming that he's not gonna see it, so he's gonna become tummy, but he's gonna find out from people that it's tummy. Why aren't they choshed that a worse problem? Maybe he won't find out.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I had the same problem. I don't know. Yeah. The Gemara is not discussing. Okay, the Gemara is discussing the guy who finds out just found out too late, so now he's gonna have to burn it. Okay, then the next mission says, Amr Biyuda, Barishayna hayu oikrim mashlichim lifnei. I'm going to back to the climb. Right, so it says that they would go out on the climb. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what would they do if they would find climb growing in someone's field? So they would rip it out, mashlichim lifnei, and throw it in front of the guy. And the Mefarshim say this was to embarrass him that you let a climb grow in your field. So publicly, they would throw it right in front of him to shame him, to whip him into shape that he should not allow a climb to grow in the field. He should take care of the climb. Misharabu Avra Avera, however, when the Avra Avera became many, I mean, people weren't listening to this, and like we're going to see in the Gemara, not only did they not care about it, but Adarabba, they were happy that this was being done. So then, they threw it into the instead of right in front of them, they threw it into the streets in a way that they're not going to have any hanah from it. And nonetheless, even that was not enough, like we'll see. So hiskinu shem avkayun kalasada. So then, the third stage, they decided that if you let kalaim grow in your field, so then we're going to give you a class and we're going to be mafka your field. We're going to take your field away from you.
Is a punishment because they won't be able to use it? What's
Mashlichim Drachim? Yeah, because it's not in the house. It's out on the streets. It's first come, first serve. It's after. So then they didn't lose the field, but at least they lost the plants. So Amr Rebuda. So Tani, the Bryce explains, Amr Rebuda, Barushayna Hayu Aikar Mashlichim name. Originally they would rip it out and throw it in front of them. And the owner would be happy for two reasons. First of all, their field is getting weeded for them. by someone else. The echad, and number two, shayu nehenu min haklayim, they still had the plants. They could feed the plants to their animals. So Mishrabu Ever Aver, so when the Ever Aver got many because this method, the first method didn't work, so Mashlichan al Adrachim, so they would throw it into the roads. So Ava Pikain, and nonetheless, Hayasmechan, still the owners were happy, because even though they didn't have the second benefit of Nehenim in Aklaim, because it's out in the roads, the Makam Hefker, but still, Shayim and Akshan said the same, at the end of the day, their fields were still getting weeded. So his kina shei mafkirin kol asadakul. So then they decided to give a knas to people who didn't care about kalayim. If you let it grow like that, so we're going to give you a knas and take away the field.
Is the whole field a problem, or only the part that's actually?
I mean, la locha.
Are they assuming that the entire field is?
No, if it's a knas, it's a knas. I mean, la locha, only the part that goes to the kalayim is aser. But this was just a knas, so they decided to take away the field. Okay. Minayim she'efker bezin hefker. So how do you know b'chlal that bezin has a right to go take away people's possessions and be mafker them? Tisiv, like it says in the pasuk, v'chol asher lo yavoi l'shleishes yom, anybody who doesn't come within 3 days, ba'atzas ha'sarim ba'askenim, like the eights of the sarim and the skenim, yechrem kol rechushi, all his possessions will be taken away, v'huibol v'mikala goyla, and will be separated from the kala goyla, from the other ones who are coming up from Golos. I mean, this was Ezra when they came up from Bayashani. Many people did not go up. So Ezra said, anybody who doesn't go up, we're going to take away his chelik in Eretz Israel. So we see from here that Bezin has a right to be mafker something, hefker Bezin hefker. Minayin shepetu min ha'maiser. Now we know that real hefker, if the owner is mafker something, is potter from meiser. How do you know that in a case of hefker Bezin hefker, that has the status of real hefker, and therefore, when Bezin takes away the field, like in our Mishnah, so now the field is like any other hefker field, that it's potter from that produce is potter from meiser. Rabbi Yonasan Breiter Yitzchak Bar Acha Shamala Min Hadas. So Rabbi Yonasan Breiter Yitzchak Bar Acha brought a raya from the following brisa. It says, "Ein ma'abrin as Hashana, you cannot make a leap year loy b'shvius, not on Shemitah, because if that's the case, you're going to extend the Isser Shvius and make it harder on the farmers, on the people who have fields. Loy b'matzayis Shvius, and not on the year after Shemitah as well. Like we'll see soon, why not? V'im Ibra, but however, if they did make an Ibra year, harizu muberes." Nonetheless, it takes effect, and it's going to be a leap year. Now, the Umar is assuming as of now that how could they make an extra month of Shemitah? They don't have a right. Teretz is, it works because of Hefker Bezin Hefker. They mafker the field for an extra month. So the Chodesh Echad, that extra month, Shu Maisif. Leipatim and Maisif, it's like any other month of Shemitah. We know that Shemitah, there's no chiyuv of giving off Maisris. So we see that the month of Hefker Bezin as well must be potter from Isis because they gave it the regular Dinei Shemitah. So that's our raya that Hefker Bezin Hefker is potter from Isis as of now.
It was only quote unquote Hefker before Bezin came along and made that year in every year.
Right, so the Torah was Mafker 12 months, but the 13th month, Chazal were Mafker. They made an extra month of Shemitah.
Right, so that only tells us when the Torah is already mafker in field, so then Bezin can extend it a month. But where do we see that?
But if Bezin can extend it a month, then Lamaisa in that month they have a right to take off Trumas and Maitres. They have the right to potter a month of Trumas and Maitres. So if they could do it for a month, they could do it.
Regardless of why
it was originally, right. So Akidain Shvius. So we understand why in Shemitah we don't want to extend Shemitah. Mitzvah Shvius Mai. Why can't they extend the year that's following Shemitah? So Amrabun Shaloi LeRabbis Yisrael Chodesh. Because after Shemitah, all the produce probably from the 6 years already done. So you're waiting for the new crop, and the new crop is Chodesh until Pesach. So you're going to add an extra Adar. You're going to make the Yisrael Chodesh longer. You're going to make it harder to get food. Reb Zira says the name of Reb Lazar. Hadad da'ata amr shalai hitir Rebbe lahavi yerek michutz l'aretz. This was only true that you can't extend Shemitah or Matzah Shemitah because you're going to have a problem getting food. That was only as long as they didn't allow to bring grain and vegetables from Chutz La'aretz. And the reason why originally they didn't land is because the dirt of Eretz Amim is Tameh. So they didn't want to bring in produce from Chutz La'aretz because it's going to come along with some dirt and then you're going to be bringing Tumah into Eretz Yisrael. It's a Tumah Derabanan, because they were Derabanan, but because of this Tumah, they didn't allow the Paris to come in. But once Rabbi permitted to bring produce from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, so then he shvius yishar kol shnei shvus. So then there's no difference anymore because even if there's a problem, you can't get the local produce because of Shemitah or because of Chadasha and Matzah Shemitah. But nonetheless, you could always supplement it by bringing Paris from Chutz La'aretz, and therefore there's no problem making it every year. Tony. Imavrin, Amremana, that which we said in the Brisa that you can't be Mabr Matzah Shvius, says Remana, Hadadat Amr Barishayna, that's only originally Shahu of Ashanim Ketiknon, and therefore the grain used to ripen towards the end of the winter, before Pesach time. It was already ready before Pesach, and therefore if you extend it a month, you're prolonging the Isra Chadosh. Aval Akshav, nowadays Shayna Ashanim Ketiknon, that the seasons don't work that way anymore. Then after the korban, when the things got messed up, and therefore the grain Pesach time was never ripe anyway, and it's not going to be ripe for another however much longer until after Pesach. So that which you're prolonging the Issachar is really is a moot point because Manoshach you're not going to be eating the grain yet because it's not ripe yet. So he shvius, he shar shnei shvua. They change the gears. He matzah shvius, he shar shnei shvua. I mean, there's no difference between matzah shvius or any other year because the whole problem was you're prolonging the Issachar. The new crop is not ripe yet anyway, so you might as well make an Ibra year, a leap year if you have to. Tani.
Before we matzah and before that problem started, they did add on a month, or they didn't.
Before,
at that point, there was an issue.
We're saying two different here. I mean, if Paris of Chutz La'aretz is permitted, so then there's no problem because you can bring in Paris of Chutz La'aretz. And even at a time, the Paris of Chutz La'aretz were usher, but if the grain is going to be ripe by Pesach, because then we don't want to prolong the Issachar. But the grain's not going to be ripe anyway, so you're not gaining anything by not making a leap year. So then. As such a year anyway, you could make a leap year.
So Maisa, when it was extending the Isser, or Maisa, they did it.
So at that point in time, right, when the season worked out that like it used to be originally in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, that the grain was ripe before Pesach, and at that point in time there was already the Gzerah, there was the Gzerah of not being Paris and Chutz La'aretz, so at that point in time they would never make a leap year on a Matzah Shvius. Tani shall base Rav Gamliel of Ruah b'Matzah Shvius. The mishpacha of Rav Gamliel made an ibur yer on Matzah Shvius miyad. So we see that they permitted such a thing. So now going back, we got a little sidetracked on because of the briar from the hefker bez and hefker was from this price. So we just discussed this price of when you could make a leap year, when you can't. But as of now, we're saying that the raya, the hefker bez and hefker, is part of Ramayser is from the fact that we could extend Shvius. Amr Rav Avon, on that says Rav Avon, in Minadov, your rayas from there, less at Shema Minaklum, you don't see anything. Why? Because that which Chazal can make an Ibriyar, the mechanics of an Ibriyar working, is not because they're mafkir the fields for an extra month. They don't have to be mafkir the fields. The Torah gave them a koyach, like we're going to say in a moment, to set the years. So now Midaraisa, it's not pshat that there's 12 months of Shemitah Midaraisa and 1 month through Hefker Bezin. Midaraisa this year now has 13 months. Because it says, Shmar es Chedesh Aviv, you should watch the Chedesh Aviv, which teaches us, Shemreyo Sheyavi Bechidushai. I mean, you have to make sure that Pesach comes during the spring, because otherwise the lunar calendar and the solar calendar will fall off of each other. We have to make sure that the beginning of the Tekufas Nisan has to be Bechidushai so Nisan, that when in the first half of the month of Nisan, the lunar month of Nisan, has to coincide that the others already started. So that's where Chazal see that if not, they're supposed to make a leap year. So since it's Torah mandated that Koyach to make a leap year, it has nothing to do with Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. So then back to the shayla. So how do you know that hefker bez and hefker kapater even from trumas and maisus? So haida amar da. So rather we'll bring a raya from the following brisa. Gadish, if you have a pile of grain, shalei luka tachtav, meaning underneath when you harvested. So during the harvest, there's leket. There's stuff that falls that belongs to the aniyim. If let's say this person went and before he allowed the aniyim to collect the stuff on the bottom, he put his haystack, his pile of grain right on top of it. So now there's grain underneath that belongs to the aniyim and it's going to mix in with his own grain. We don't know what's the aniyim's grain and what's his grain. So Chazal say, kol anagis baritz, anything that's touching the ground, harei hein shel aniyim belongs to the aniyim. Now, the part that touches the ground is going to be a lot more than the amount of leket that was there. The Teretz says we're giving him some sort of knas, that because he put his stuff on top of the aniyim stuff without allowing them to take the leket first, so anything that's touching the ground is going to become hefker for the aniyim. So this is a hefker through knas, through hefker bez and hefker. V'om Rabami, and on that said Rabami, b'shem b'shem ben lakish, to b'shamahi. This only stems with b'shamai. The ikebesil aniyim oichlim only aniyim idu maasrin, and they should have to take off maizim, because we have a machlokes if someone's mafker something only for aniyim and not for ashirim. Hefker aniyim, the Mishnah calls it. So Bishama says if your mafker things only for aniyim, at the end of the day that's called hefker, and therefore it's like any other hefker, it's part from trumas and maizers. Basil says no. The only way it's called hefker is if it's hefker both for aniyim and ashirim. It has to be hefker for everybody. If it's only hefker for some people and not for everybody, it's not considered hefker. So this mishnah that they were mafker to and they were mafker only for aniyim must be that it's only beishamay and not according to beizil. V'amli Rabbi Yosi, on that Rabbi Yosi says no. Shemanu shu pater mimaiser divrako. It's even according to beizil, it's pater from maiser mishum knas, because over here was a knas. So a regular hefker, if I would decide to be mafker something and I would only allow aniyim to take it out of ashirim, then maybe it's not hefker. But with the koyach of hefker as an hefker, they could take it away from the bialim and they could decide that only aniyim are allowed to take it. Therefore, it's working between koyach of hefker as an hefker, and it's going to be treated like regular matnas aniyim, and just like regular matnas aniyim, aniyim are not going to take off trumas and maisers from. They're not going to take off trumas and maisers from this. Now, if hefker bez and hefker is chayv and trumas and maaser, we run into a problem because the aniyim are not going to be taking off. Must be that hefker bez and hefker is like a regular hefker that's potter from trumas and maaser. So regardless, manushach, whether it's like a chichu peyer, it's potter from maaser, or whether it's the stuff that chazal or mafgar yedei the knas of hefker bez and hefker, either way, it's potter from trumas and maaser. So the ani is going to collect it; he's not going to have to take trumas and maaser. Then the next mishnah says the hamisha also by on the 15th of Adar shulchanos. So the money changers would sit around the Medina. They have two pshatim over here. Either Medina means around Yerushalayim, or means around all the big cities of Eretz Israel. This way, anybody who didn't have the right types of coins or the right denominations to give shkolim would be able to go to the money changers and get the machzish hashekel that they need to be able to give it. Bechav hey. Once it was the 25th of Adar, so the time is getting much closer. So Yashuv and Mikdash, should then even in the Mikdash itself, money changers would set up to be able to the people should be able to change and give it right away to the Mikdash. Mishi Yashuv and Mikdash, at that point in time that the money changers set up in the base of Mikdash, Hitzchilu the Mashkin. So they started giving off, taking a Mashkin from anybody who didn't yet give his shkolim. Asmi mimashkin, and who would they take a mashkin from? Levim the Yisraelim, a Levi a Yisrael, the Gerim a Ger, Avadim Mishuchram or an Eved who was freed, so now he is like a Yisrael, is like a Ger. Avaloi Noshim Avadim Ketanim, not Noshim, not slaves who are not freed and not Ketanim, because these are all part of our part of from Shkolim. Since they're part of from Shkolim, obviously we're not going to take a mashkin from them if they didn't give. V'chol Katan Shisul Avad Vishkol Ayada, even though a Katan's potter, but once the father begins giving for him, so then shuvene paisik, he's not allowed to stop. So if he started giving to him, let's say when he's 7, 8, 9, so now when he's 10, he can't decide, oh, he's a katan, I don't want to give for him. Once you started, you have to continue giving every year. Eim mashkin is a kehanim. You don't take a mashkin from kehanim ibn darker shalom. So according to this Tanakama, really kehanim are chayiv, and really we should take a mashkin from them the same way that we take a mashkin from anybody else. Just because of the Arka Shalom, we don't take it from the Kehanim. Amr Buda, on that says, to give it though, right? According to this Pershita. Okay. Yeah, according to verse 30, Kain's Chayiv, just we don't take a Mashkin because of Darkin Shalom, like we'll see more in the Gemara. On that, Amr Yehuda, Hey Ben Bukhri, B'Yavne, Ben Bukhri testified in Yavne, Kol Kain Sheshoiko Ein Echoite. Any Kain that gives Shalom is not a Choite, which would imply that really he shouldn't be giving Shalom. So, I mean, Ben Bukhri is disagreeing. He said that really Kayam Rapater from Shkalim, and we'll see what the Machlekes is in the Gemara, and therefore really he shouldn't be giving. But nonetheless, if he wants to volunteer and give, he's not a Chayt. I mean, you might think that that it's a problem to give because now that money is going to be used to purchase Karbanas, and then it comes out that the Karbanas are being funded by private money. It's not going to be a carbon Tzibur since it's not real Shkalim. Kamash Shalom, that we trust them that they're going to give it over to the Tzibur properly, and therefore it's going to be considered Tzibur money. Amalei Rabbi Yechem and Zakeh, and that's the so Rabbi Yechem and Zakeh said to Rabbi Yehuda, like you, not so, Ela kol kain she'enech she'eko choyte. It's the exact opposite. A kain is really mechuyiv. And if he doesn't give shkalim, he's a choyte. He's not fulfilling his chiyiv. Ela she'keanim darshan mikros ela atman. Rather, the reason why the keanim didn't give is not because they're really potter midirayas. I mean, midirayas are their chayiv. It's just they, on their own, made a drasha to convince themselves that they're potter. Because the pasuk says, "V'chol mechas koyim kolol tia." Any mecha that a koyim brings has to be completely burnt. It's not eaten like a regular mecha that you take off the koyim, and the shirayim is eaten by the kehanim. So therefore, they said, "Ha'yov la'imur shtei alechem v'lecha apanim." Since all the mechas of the tzibur shalanu are ours because we have a chedik in them, heichel lechom, how are they eaten? Must be we're not meant to give the shkalim, but they're making a mistake because that's all about a private carbon. But a public carbon, once they gave over the money, like we said before, now it becomes the tzibur's money. It's no longer theirs, and it's not a private carbon, so it's not considered a minchas kohen. Says the Gemara, Eim mashkin is a ketanim. It's mashkin, from the lashon of Eim mashkin is a ketanim, it's mashkin of l'tvoya toivin. It's mashkin that you don't take a mashkin from them, but they're supposed to give. Because otherwise, we could have said strongly that they're potter. So says the Gemara, Hadadu teirim b'shevi shtei saris. That's talking about once he already gets Shtei Saras, he's already bar mitzvah. Avam Leivi Shtei Saras, if he's not even bar mitzvah yet, Leib Bedah, then he doesn't even have to give. So it comes out that there's three levels. Kalzman, he's not bar mitzvah, he doesn't even give Shkalim. From the time that he's bar mitzvah until he's 20, he's Mechuyiv Midarabana, not Midaraisa, so we will not take a mashkim from him, but he's supposed to give. We'll ask him to give. Once he's 20, he's Mechuyiv Midaraisa, so if he doesn't give, we'll even take a mashkim from him.
The Mishnah question sounds like this is a woman.
Right, the Gemara only does this by ketanim.
Right.
Could be the Gemara understands that Mishnah said such a lashon by everybody ought to ketanim. However, as far as taking a mashkin is concerned, you don't take a mashkin even though he's already bar mitzvah until he's 20. What's pshat in the Mishnah? It says a mashkin is a ketanim mimneidarach kovid. Because the Gemara is explaining the way the Mefarshim say that the Mishnah that says because of Darkei Shalom is shver, because Darkei Shalom should apply to everybody. Why Darkei Kehanim? So the Teretz is, you have to say that the Darkei Shalom over here either change the gears or you have to say that it means they are covered. Since the Kehanim do the Avodah and the Kiddushin, and so therefore because of covered, that's why we don't take a mashkin for the Kehanim. But it's not because of mere Darkei Shalom. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Heyid, the Ben Bukhri was made that a Kehan Rapata from Shkolim. And on that, Rabbi Yechem and Zakai disagreed and says that they're Chayiv in Shkolim. So, Amr Rabbi Yechem, tell me Rabbi Yechem and Zakai that says they're Chayiv, because the Pasuk says in Parashas Kisisa, which is discussed in the Chayiv of Shkolim, Zeh Yitznu, Zeh is Gematria 12, which teaches us Yudvei Shvatim Yitznu, all 12 Shvatim, even Sheva Levi, even including Kehanim, are Mechuyiv to give Shkolim. Rav Tavi B'Shem Hamnuna, came a Shiva Chacham to Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham answered back to Rabbi Yehuda that Rabbi Yehuda, what was taina was that if they give, then a shkolim, so then it will be a mechas kayin. And if it will be a mechas kayin, then it should have to be burnt. How could the shrine be eaten? So the Chacham answered back, Chatas Yochid Mesa. The halacha is that a Chatas Yochid, if the Yochid died or the Yochid brought a different one, then the extra one goes to Mesa, starved to death. Ain katas tzibur mesa. Whereas a katas tzibur, the halacha is ain katas tzibur mesa. Even though a katas tzibur is purchased by individuals' money, so the same idea, mecha se yachid kreva, a mecha that belongs to a yachid is kreva, who's a kain is kreva kalav. A mecha se tzibur kreva kalav, because once it's given over to the tzibur, it's not considered an individual carbon anymore. It's considered a carbon tzibur, and therefore the logic that the kehanim said is incorrect. Frank the Gemara Bakasha, Meshivin Ladam Damashena Maidabai, we're bringing a raya from Chatos, which is something that Rabbi Yehuda himself disagrees with. The Tanan, like we learned in the Mishnah, Shein Chatos Tzibra Mesa, the Tanakhama says that a Chatos Tzibra doesn't have a din to go, even though it's extra, there's no din to starve it to death, you could be paid it. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer Thomas, the Rabbi Yehuda says that no. There's no difference between a yachid and a tzibur. The same way the Halacha Moshe Messina says that a chatas yachid that's extra goes lemisa. So what then a chatas tzibur? So they're bringing a raya from something that he doesn't hold of. So, like the way the Tikkun Charetin explains, the Gemara leaves this kasha hanging and never comes back to the kasha, but rather goes back to the Ikar Shakla V'Tayya, that they brought a raya that there's a difference between a yachid and a tzibur. So who mostly wants to who the answers back to the Chachamim? Zulay Nidvas Yachid. Who isn't this a Nidvas Yachid? Because since they're not Machuyiv, so now that they give the money, it's really considered private money. It's not considered public money. The Inim Asiv Lay, and the Chachamim answer back to Rabbi Yehuda that that's not true. Because Kivan Shanim to the Tzibur, Kimishu Nidvas Tzibur. That since they gave it over to Tzibur, and like the Mefarshim explained, because according to the Rabbanim, they hold that they're Mechuyiv, so I don't care what your intentions are, whether your intentions are to give it completely over to the Tzibur or not to, since it's Bat L'Daita, we don't care what your intentions are, because you have a Chiv to give, and automatically the Torah, Hashem, makes it into money that belongs to the Tzibur. Ksiv, the pasuk says, "Kala ivra alapakulim." Who's mechuyah to give the maksan shekel? Kala ivra alapakulim. So, what does that mean? Kala ivra alapakulim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Mechem, machlokes Rabbi Yehuda ben Mechem. Yechad amar kol de amar beyama. Anybody who went through the yamsuf has to give money. Meaning, anybody who goes through the yamsuf and alapakulim, they were counted. Yitain, they have to give their shkolim, and the kayanim de levim went through the yamsuf, and if that's the case, they're mechuyah to give shkolim. The other one says, the ones that came forth to be counted, which we know the Levim were counted separately, they weren't counted with the rest of Klal Yisrael. So if that's the case, the only ones who are Mechuyiv in Shkolim are the Yisraelim and not the Kayanim and Levim. Yitain. So man de amar called the amar beyama, the ones that went through the yamsuf yitei misayil Rabbi Yechim Zakkai. That's like the sheet of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai who says that kiyanam are mechuyev to give shkolim. Man de amar called the amar al pekudaya yitein. That's misayil ben Bukhri. That's a raya to ben Bukhri who says that kiyanim don't are potter from giving the shkolim. Next mission says al bishamu em mashkin noshim avodim muktarim. Even though we said that you cannot. That you don't take a mashkin from Nashim Avadim Ketanim, Avol Im Shaklu, if they did give a shkolim mekabel miyadam, and like we explained before, similar to what we said by the Ketanim, because we trust that when the people give it over, they give it over totally to the Tzibur. So now it's considered the Tzibur's money, it's not considered an individual donation, that it should be a private carbon and not a carbon Tzibur. However, Hanachi Rakusi Sheshaklu with a guy or a kusi gives a shekel, a makabla mehem, even if they want to donate it, we don't accept nadavas from goyim and from kusim. Similarly, a makabla meyadam, we don't accept from them, kinizavas, if a guy happened to be a zavah or a zavah, and they want to bring the karbonis of a zavah or a zavah, kinizavas, or the karbon of a yaladis, chatois, vashamis, or a chatas, or a nashim, any karbon chayv, we don't accept from a guy. Zaklahal, because this is the rule, kol shenid of anid of any carbon that's in a dava that you could donate out of your own goodwill, mikal minyadim, then we take it even from goyim. Kol shenid of anid of, but any carbon that's not in a dava, rather it's a carbon chayva, and they decide that they want to bring this carbon chayva just like a Yisrael brings it, then a mikal minyadim, then we don't accept it from them. The chayim for shayid Ezra, like the pasuk explains that Ezra wrote, shenem aloy lachem v'lonu lithnes b'beis alakinu. It's not for you to help us build the base of the Kenu, which we're going to see more in the Gemara, because this seems to say even the Davos we don't take from them, and we're trying to bring this as a raya that we don't take from them Chayvis, so that the Gemara will discuss. But from here we see that we don't take Chayvis from Goyim, only in the Davos. Okay.
The Mishnah says Levim.